It was a year ago that this past week that I faced what was nothing I'd ever faced before with open heart surgery, and it was vivid to me this week as I was reflecting on that particular experience, how it connects into what we're looking at today inside of God's Word. To package it all together in a very succinct way, after being diagnosed with blockage in the left side of my heart, it was apparent that heart surgery was necessary. And so on the 23rd of April, I found myself in a hospital room, and actually in a surgery room, getting ready to go into surgery. And it was intriguing to me because there are two things that were evident. In that room were my five children, and my three by birth, two by marriage, my five kids were there, and they are my story and my legacy. And so they were there. And then at the same time, there were the unknown people in that room. We had the doctor, the surgeon. We had the anesthesiologist. We had other people who were connected in that I'd never seen before. We had nurses that trying to get IVs stuck in and different things like that. And I can remember thinking, the people I trust the most cannot do anything for me, while the people I've never known have to do everything for me. And it was such a unique feeling because I realized I was living through a moment that I would have preferred never to live through. And I can remember so vividly the experience afterwards, because not only was my body traumatized and I went from being strong to weak in a moment and being overwhelmed and having all kinds of emotions, all this stuff like that, but I watched as my grandchildren's interaction to me, because it was the first time they'd ever seen me weak, the first time they'd ever seen me hurting. And my grandson would hide behind his parents or hide behind the chair, and he'd just peek his head out and look, and then he would come back behind and hide again. And my granddaughters, everyone was obviously staggered by it. And then it began to hit me that God puts in our lives certain moments we can never forget. And my grandkids all called what this long scar I have here, my boo-boo. And Adeline would, whenever she'd see me, say, "Guy, I want to see your boo-boo one more time." And so I'd pull my shirt up, you know, and in fact, other people want to see it. Chester, I was in the church office 2 weeks after surgery. "Chester, let me see that scar." So I just pulled that shirt up and said, "There it is. It's right there." And I don't know if it made him sick or not, but it overwhelmed him for sure to look at it. And yet, it's interesting because it's our lives sometimes, it's the scars that remind us of God's faithfulness. They're the reminders to us that He's with us no matter what. And I can remember waking up out of that surgery, and I told a little bit about this last Sunday, so I'm not going back to that at all, but I can remember waking up post that surgery and realizing that God had more in store for my life, and I just had to fight through and recover. And I tell you, today, to be strong, and I was telling Charlie this week, we were fellowshipping, and I said, you know, one of the most unique things about me is I've always watched people walk up the escalator at the airport and think they were crazy, because I thought, why would you go up that steep slope when you can ride? And now I walk up it, and the difference is because the heart's working right, and it's moving forward, and now I'm one of those crazy people that's going up through there. And what you discover is this, that God puts us in special moments that are like no others in order to teach us something that we could never forget. And what I want you to see today is this. We come to Joshua chapter 10, all right? Turn your Bibles to that text, because what I want you to see is this. The Bible records it as no day like it ever before and ever afterwards. It was an unusual, miraculous day that had significance in manifold ways, because it was the culmination of Joshua recognizing that they need to pay much closer attention to those who interact with them, because in Joshua chapter 9, they got deceived and didn't understand what was going on. And so they made a deal with a group of people who told them, you know what, we are the people from afar, we just want to make peace with you. And the truth is, they were right next door. They were right next door to them. They were very close to Ai. They were only a few miles away. They were the Gibeonites. And as a result, because they did not seek the Lord's direction, they ended up with an agreement to protect the Gibeonites. Even though the Gibeonites said, "We'll be servants the rest of our life. It doesn't matter what task we have. We just want to live." Now, here's what you discover. You have to be careful in life, because if you're not careful, something will catch you off guard. You'll make a choice you shouldn't make, and out of that unwise choice will come detriment and pain and difficulty and heartache. So my encouragement to you today is think about in your own life, think about as it relates to who you are and who God wants you to be. Because here's what I want you to see today. I want you to think about how to examine His vision for your life. I want you to think about the moments that God puts in your path. Because here is the very overarching principle that I want you to see and never forget. There are moments in life that are never repeated. They're never repeated because each one is planned by God to show us something. For example, I don't ever want another moment like I experienced on April 23rd of last year. That moment is etched in my mind, and I will say this, the most powerful, moving part of the entire experience was to experience the depth of love that came from the hearts of my wife and my children and my grandchildren and our church family. I have a stack of cards I got that from many of you during that time, and those treasures, I read those treasures months after that experience because I wanted to be reminded of how God works, because those moments, they don't come around. Anyone here who's ever brought a child into the world, that moment is there because here's what you discover. And here's the question you got to ask. Do you recall any memories etched in your heart? And here's what you're going to see. Some of those moments you just can't forget because they are memories and moments that God gives us in order to experience life the way He planned, that's amazing and sometimes challenging, sometimes overwhelming to us. And when I think about how life works, I want you to think about it for a second. What if the next moment He has planned for you is more marvelous and more amazing than you could calculate? What if He intends to do something that's directly linked to your obedience, to your submission to Him, to your yielding to Him? What if He wants to do something inside of your own heart that will change who you are? That's why Joshua 10 is so important. And I want you to see three verses in Joshua 10 to start our message. Open your Bible, if you would, to Joshua chapter 10 and verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you." Now, doesn't that remind you of Joshua chapter 1, where he says to be courageous? Don't be afraid. Take courage. You can accomplish this. And and it's interesting, by the way, at the most critical moment when Joshua needs to hear from God, he speaks to him. And here's what I want you to get in mind regarding your own journey of faith. There are those moments when He speaks to you so vividly and so clearly that because you stop and you listen and you hear Him, you begin to yield to Him and you say, "Lord, I hear You speaking." That's the kind of moment Joshua chapter 10 is. All right? Then look on, if you would. Verse 12, "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, 'O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Elijah.' So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, and the nation avenged themselves of their enemies." Now, when you read this, you begin to realize that, so the Lord speaks to Joshua, and then Joshua speaks to the Lord, but he doesn't limit it. He doesn't limit it just to his own personal prayer time. Everybody there gets to hear him say, "This is what I trust in." For example, I never have any problem publicly saying that I believe God for things beyond my imagination. I don't have to just say it to myself. I say it and to the Lord. I can say it in front of you because if, let me tell you what I believe. God is at work in amazing and powerful ways. Powerful ways. Pastor Ron shared with me even last Sunday while in connection with Bible study and in this Bible study class, two different people gave their heart to Christ. Those are the miracle moments. Listen, your salvation is your most miraculous moment of life. Most miraculous. And I'm so thankful that you and I think about those kind of miracles first, because that's the most miraculous thing. Because what is our salvation all about? It is the redemption of our soul to be able to speak with Jesus forever. Let me tell you, there's nothing more powerful than that. That's why we warm this water up and let people come and confess their faith and let them be baptized, because what? It's an outward expression of what God's done inside of them. My encouragement is to think about it in your own life. Think about what happens if all of a sudden the Lord speaks to you, you speak to Him, and look, if you would, one more verse, because I want you to see this, and we're going to dig into this very clearly. In verse 14, "There was no day like that before it or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Now, when you read that, you realize that, first of all, Joshua had an intimate relationship with the Lord. He obviously was a very devoted and committed servant. The Lord listened to what it is he was saying, and as a result of that, there was a day like no other day. And I don't know if you've ever had a day like that, that you look back and think, you know, that day was perfect. It started beautifully. It ended beautiful. It was beautiful the whole day long. And you went to bed in perfect peace because you had experienced that. And the truth of the matter is, if you're really honest, there are not many days like that. Most days, I mean, I was driving down the road one day this week, and I saw this car, and they smashed into the back end of another car, and their entire front of their car was gone. And they're all out there on their phones, and you can just tell they're thinking, this is going to be a bad day. It's going to be a bad day because somebody wasn't paying enough attention. They ended up destroying what it is they own. Listen carefully. Today is the day to pay close attention to what it is God may say to you, because what it comes down to is what we're committed to will ultimately define who we are. And that's why Joshua was able to have an intimate encounter with God where the Lord listened to his voice and in listening to him responded in obedience. So here's the question, all right? When it comes down to who you are and how you live, what are you truly committed to? In other words, what is it that you really live for? Because here's what you're going to discover. I live for things, for example, that money can't buy. I live to see people walk in obedience. I live to see people discover who Jesus is. I live to watch as lives are transformed inside of people's hearts and they encounter God in a new and living and amazing way. I live to see all that because money can't buy it, but God can do it. And that's what you and I need to understand, is because when you get to Joshua chapter 10, in chapter 9, they in foolishness made a decision that was contrary to every bit of instruction they'd been given. But the reason they made that foolish decision was they were dependent, watch this, on themselves instead of dependent on God. And we're dependent on ourselves. We always make unwise choices. We make a lot of foolish decisions. It ends up being detrimental to us. So I want you to think about today as you begin to encounter what it is that God wants to do in and through your life. What about those moments he has for you? And I want you to examine. What I want you to do is I want you to examine your vision for your life. What it is God wants to do in and through you as a result of being in the Lord's house on this day. And I want you to see several things related to what happens with Joshua. Let me give you a summation of the story, and we'll come back and we'll hit it. This is a story of how out of great faith, the Lord does miraculous things to set in motion their victory. There's a hailstorm that's a part of this. There's all kinds of dynamics that are connected to what God does in order to ensure that they have victory. We know this. Joshua knew that he needed to be decisive with five kings at one time. He needed to defeat five kings at one time. And so he took very decisive steps. And here's what I want you to get in mind regarding your life. You want to make great strides for God? You have to be very decisive. You cannot ignore what it is God's trying to say to you. So let's look at this, and let's see if he opens our hearts up to what he wants to do inside of our life. Joshua 10, verse 1. Joshua 10, verse 1. Now it came about when Adonized, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and utterly destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were within their land, that he feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai and all its men. Watch this. All its men were mighty. Therefore, the king of Jerusalem sent word to these other kings and said to them, verse 4, come up to me and help me, and let us attack Gibeon, for it has been made peace with Joshua and with the sons of Israel. So the five kings, they all gathered together, and at the very last part of verse 5, they camped by Gibeon and get ready to fight against it. So they said, we're going to take you out because you're trying to be in control of this, and you know what, you're going to see what's going to happen. We're going to take you out, Gibeon. But what do the people of Gibeon do? Verse 6, then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, saying, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that live in the hill country have assembled against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. Now stop right there and get this in your mind, because here's what happened first. The people of Gibeon realized something, that the only confidence they have is in their opportunity to experience what only God can do. And so when they find out all these kings are coming against them, they come running at Joshua and say, you know what, come help us. Now, Joshua could have, in his humanness, said, you know what, I'm going to wipe that deal out. I'm going to knock that out. Let them all get killed because they should have got killed anyway. We were the ones who got deceived in chapter 9, but he didn't do that because he was a man after God's heart. He was looking for what God had for him. And so what happens, first of all, is all of a sudden they get this confidence that they know they can go to Joshua beyond their own circumstances, and they go seeking him out. And listen carefully. Beyond your circumstances, you must rest with the confidence that God is with you. Listen to what the verse in the New Testament says. Do not throw away your confidence, for it has a great reward. So imagine for a moment, you start thinking, so if I'm going to experience what God intends for my life, I got to live in obedience to what he's trying to do, because as I live in obedience, God's going to do what? He's going to start creating this supernatural confidence inside of me. And we have, our family has a nephew by marriage that went through all the school for the PA school and everything and failed the exam a few months ago and was just obviously deeply disappointed. And it's interesting what he could have done. He could have folded and said, you know what, I'm not going to be a physician assistant anymore. I'm going to go do something else. I can be a nurse or something. This is too hard. But instead, a week ago, he went back to take that exam. And I got to see him after the exam. I said, man, how did it go? And he said, you know what, I feel like it went good. And we found out this week that he'd passed the test. And as I was talking to him on the phone, I called him on the phone and said, I'm so proud of what God's done through you. I'm so glad you accomplished it. And I'm so glad his confidence did not wane. Have you ever faced something that all of a sudden your confidence kind of disappeared? You know, you thought you could do it. You thought you were committed to it. You thought you could accomplish it. But you didn't. I mean, I can remember I was a 13-year-old kid playing baseball in an all-star game in Germany. I was playing in a regional all-star game that was so important for our entire team. And I can remember being up to bat, bases loaded, sixth inning, key inning. I remember striking out. And let me just say this. That was one of the most humiliating moments for me. And I'll never forget. And my Sunday school teacher had attended to see that game. My father never saw me play a baseball game. So other people who knew me ever saw me play baseball. And so when I struck out, I picked up my helmet. I had no idea this guy had one of those lens on his camera. He could make good pictures. And I kicked my helmet up in the air, way up in the air. And he made pictures of the helmet from went off my foot to went all the way up. And a few days later, he brought me a couple prints and said, what do you think this says? I said, I'm sorry you had a camera. That's what it says to me, because that's not what I want to be remembered by. And yet, the truth is, let me tell you, I could have given up on that sport that moment, but I had a confidence inside of me. And it's interesting because my confidence rested not in the affirmation I get from someone else, but that I knew that God had given me a skill to be able to play something, to do something. What about you? Have you ever had a moment where you kicked the helmet up in the air? Said, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to take that step. I'm not going to go that way. See, for the Gibeonites, here's what they knew. They only had one hope. And Joshua understood that he was supposed to redeem them and help them out of what they're going through. And so today, as you think about that, think about your own confidence. Think about what it is that God's trying to show you. Look at verse 8, if you would. Because I want you to think about today, what if you make a decisive decision related to your vision for what it is God wants to do through you and in you and around you so that your children see you as precious and connected to God's purpose? Because, you know, that's the thing that matters the most, when people see Jesus in us, Christ at work in our lives. And so as you think about that, you begin to start thinking, okay, now, so I'm going to have enough confidence to trust him beyond what I see. But then in verse 8, look what transpires. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not one of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal. And the Lord confounded them before Israel, and he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and pursued them by the way of the ascent of Beth Horon and struck them as far as these two other cities and as they fled. Verse 7, as they fled from both before Israel while they were at the descent of Beth Horon, the Lord threw large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstone than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. So what do you see here? You see, the word comes to Joshua, something's transpiring, and Joshua could have said, let's take 2 weeks to evaluate this. Joshua could have said, you know, I'm not going to make a decision on this right now. But instead, he took immediate action. And the Bible says that he marched by night. And he took this immediate action, and it confounded the enemy. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do because all of a sudden, these people who were at one point mighty and at one point great were all of a sudden they're stuck in a place where it's not coming together like they thought because he confounded the enemy. And listen, you've got to keep this in mind when you face great challenges in life and great battles, even as you make important decisions in life. There's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. That is the inheritance of a child of God. You can't sit around going, you know what, I'm good, I'll do that, but that's too much for me. That's too overwhelming for me. Listen, take action and watch what happens because the enemy will run. And here's what happened. Five kings' armies all run. Which, by the way, we don't have time today to go through the rest of the story, but here's the end of the story. End of the story, all five kings hide in the cave. And Joshua said, make them all lay down on their faces. Because the reality is all five kings had missed their assignment in life. They came up against God's army and God's people, and they lost. And so, as a result, they confounded the enemy, and what happens here is, all of a sudden, they get into something they never dreamed they would, because all of a sudden, hail starts coming from heaven that puts a lot of people out of commission. In fact, more people out of commission than what the sons of Israel had done. And as a result, all of a sudden, something begins to happen inside of their lives because they begin to realize something. Joshua sees this as well. The Lord said, don't be afraid. Don't let anything get in your way. And that fear that had got the best of them, all of a sudden, they set aside everything they had done wrong in chapter 9. Said, you know what? We're gonna live for God. Because he said, no one's going to stand before it. Listen, don't live your life thinking somebody can take the best from you. The truth of the matter is, if you live your life for him, no one can take away from you the very thing he had planned for your life. He has something special in store for you that's beyond your imagination. You just have to be willing to say, Lord, show me what it is that's going to guide me to experiencing what only you can give me. And here's what I want you to get in mind. When you listen to God, it builds supernatural faith inside of you. And here's what's scary. If we're not wise, what will happen to us? We will listen only to the whisper of men and miss the astounding voice of God. But if we hear him speak, then it transforms everything. I'll give you a classic example of this. Friday night, I'm over having a chance to spend a little time with my grandkids at Kevin Crin's house, and I was doing a lot of different things, and I'd been helping a friend try to figure something out that needed an answer, and he couldn't figure it out how to deal with it. And so I was trying to guide him and help him and bless him. But this was Friday night, 10:30 at night. I thought, you know, that's the least time I'm inspired to do anything great. I can tell you that. And so all of a sudden, I had this impression: get on your computer and check on this because I think you're going to find the answer right now. Well, I thought to myself, maybe I'm listening to the voice of the Lord to help this friend make it out of the circumstance. And it's interesting, by the way, that one moment where God spoke saved my friend $3,400. Because I listened, and I called, and I sent a message to him and said, you won't believe what I found. And he was astonished. And I said, let me tell you what's most unbelievable about it, that I was attentive enough at 10:30 to hear the Lord speak, because normally I'm not. Normally I'm out of zoned out by 10:30. Here's what I want you to get in mind. Joshua could have zoned out everything, but you know what? Instead, he got his heart fixed on accomplishing what God intended. When you listen, he supernaturally does amazing things. Look on, though, if you would. Next verse I want you to see, verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the sons of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, O moon in the valley of Alijon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation avenged himself of their enemies. You see, it's interesting here because this is the last miracle recorded in the book of Joshua. All right, so after this, you begin to just see them doing methodically what they're supposed to accomplish, conquering other things, setting aside land, accomplishing what needs to be happening. But this miracle this amazing thing was held for the very last. And it's interesting because I've read seven commentators on this particular verse, because there's lots of people who have different scientific questions like that. And let me say this to you. I'm not a scientist, nor do I have a desire to get in a debate with scientists. Here's what I do have. I am a servant of God who sees that God did something miraculous in order to ensure that the prayer was answered that Joshua asked. And so I believe exactly what God's word says, that he did something miraculous to be able to set in motion this victory. And so I want you to see what happened. He prayed this in front of everyone. By the way, that's when you have bold prayer. When you say, Lord, in front of everyone, please do this. You've heard me pray already in the last 3 weeks that I'm asking the Lord to speak to every heart, not some heart, not a few hearts, every heart when it comes to forward by faith. Why? Because I think we together can do something that none of us individually can do alone. We can together accomplish what he sets out for us to accomplish, and that is that we fulfill the vision God's given us and we move forward by faith as it relates to the building program and everything he has in store for us. So when you get to verse 12, you begin to see the third thing I want you to see, and I hope it stands out to you in your mind as well, because when you see about what God does, he starts moving heaven and earth in a moment like no other. And what I want you to keep in mind is that's the same kind of miracle that happens in so many lives. It happened just a few weeks ago in the Richies' life. They've already been through one car wreck and ended up in another major car wreck, at least his sweet wife and the kids. And when I looked at the picture, my very first thought was, I'm amazed somebody was not hurt badly. Badly. And I have to believe that God was watching over them in a protective way beyond someone else running a light and hitting their car. And I had a chance to visit Casey the day after that and hug and embrace him, because the truth is, none of us want to live through two accidents. They've lived through one where their whole car burned up. They've lived through a lot in the span of a short, young life. And yet, as I started thinking about, God will move sometimes heaven and earth to set in motion like no other day we'd ever live. And what he did on that particular day for the Ritchie family, he let them all stay together and live on. And you can't beat that kind of miracle, because that's God working over us. And so what did Joshua ask for? Joshua asked for one thing. Let me accomplish everything before the sun sets. Help me be able to do what it is that he wants me to do through you. And that's what I want you to see today. And don't get caught up with trying to grasp all the dynamics of what transpires here. Here's what we know. There's no day like it, and our God is big enough. And here's what you see. Our God is big enough to accomplish anything. Anything. And I read a story of a seminary professor who, after 10 years, a student had gone off into preaching pastor, and the professor came to listen to him on a particular day when he's speaking in chapel at the seminary. And it's at a seminary that one time used to believe this book, but now no longer does. And it's interesting, by the way, if you become so intellectual that you lose the capacity to have insight, something is wrong with your vision of who God is. Because when you get closer to God, it ought to change and motivate your mind to be able to say, you know what, God, speak to my heart on every verse, every text, everything I see inside of your word. So the professor sits down in the front row, and the student was surprised the professor was there, and walked in and began to, and as I was reading this story, I began to just see this man preach. And when it was over, the student went down to the professor and said, you know, thank you for coming. He said, well, I'll only come one time. I come one time for every student. And here's what I see. I come to see if their God is big or little. And I want to say to you, your God is big. And that's all I needed to say. Mission accomplished. Because listen carefully. You don't want a small God. Because what if God is small, then when you have a circumstance that comes your way, then you have nothing to depend on, nothing to rely on, no way to find an answer in. But if your God is big, he can meet you at the point of the juncture of your need. And by the way, it doesn't always take a day or a month or a year. A few months ago, a lady passed away in Arkansas who I had known for the last 30 years. And I met her when her affluent family blew apart because her husband had chosen a path that was not God's best for his life. And so all of her friends said to her, you need to chunk him and get on with your life. You need to get past all this. And it was interesting because she kept saying, no, I believe God that he can do anything. You see, her God was big, big. And so as a result, 7 years to the day, 7 years to the day that he left, he came home. Repentant, gave his heart to Christ, was baptized, and lived and still lived to this day faithful before God. You see, she could have said at year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, year six, I give up, but no. She had a big God and a great faith. When you think about this, Joshua had this great faith because he knew God could move heaven and earth and transform your life. And it's interesting, by the way, if you take that family, you take that family and you look a little deeper into the family, here's what you discover. When the father came home, the son discovered that God's will for his life was to be a pastor. And today, he pastors the Dynamic Church in Arkansas. And the question is, wasn't it the faith of the wife and the mom who didn't give up? I want to ask you, do you give up too quick? Do you get frustrated too fast? Do you get too overwhelmed at your obstacles instead of looking at your opportunity? You see, when you look at this, it's interesting because every blessing that comes our way will be validated by a battle. And the problem we don't always calculate is how intense the battle will be. And for Joshua, it was a battle to show them that he could trust God to make sure that sun extended and that day extended like no other day before. And today is the same kind of day for you and me. We can trust him beyond anything we've ever experienced before. And so what happens here? You learn to trust him because that moves heaven and earth. That's what happens. You start trusting him, he starts moving heaven and earth. And what kind of powerful life do you have when you start doing it? Something great begins to happen inside of you. One final thing I want you to see, because it's so important. Look at verse 14. There was no day like that before it or after it when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. The uniqueness, watch this. This is a principle you can't miss. The uniqueness of the day was an affirmation of the future. The uniqueness of the day was an affirmation of the future. In other words, it was so unique that out of it, set in motion. In fact, I want you to see one thing. Look, if you would, verse 21. Don't miss it. Verse 21. Then all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. And I want you to see this last line. You can't miss this. No one uttered a word against any of the sons of Israel. Here's what you discover. When you accomplish what God intends for your life, there'll come a moment where no one can say a thing because you have done the miraculous. You have trusted him beyond yourself. So three things I want you to see. God has planned moments for us. He's planned moments for us. For example, and I told Charlie this morning, right when we prayed before the service, I said, let me tell you something. I'm confident that this chapter and this season that we're living through is a unique season for each one of us. If we move forward by faith, we accomplish what God intends, we fulfill the vision, we get to experience what God has for us, then it's amazing. And so you today, think about your own life. What happens if you do the same thing? You stop and say, you know, God has a planned moment for me. But what does he look for? What does he look for? God looks for our hearts to take action. He looks for our hearts to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm not going to just talk about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to tell you what's exciting to me. When we learn to act, we get to experience what God intends. Because our action affirms our belief that he's with us. And the third thing I want you to see, God has this deep desire that we live to please him. It's his deepest desire. So what's your vision for today? I want you to think about this. What's your vision for today? Your heart, your life, your church. And my prayer is that we move forward by faith, examining the vision God's given us and trusting him to work in each one of our lives. What a great story. No day like it. And no day like April 28, 2019, because this is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. Thank you for the miracle stories we see. Thank you that Joshua believed you. Thank you that you affirmed his faith. Thank you that you led them in victory. And Lord, there's some in this room that have had battles and challenges, and yet you lead us to victory. You lead us to experience what it is that you have in store for our lives. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray you speak to every heart. There may be someone here who needs an answer from you. Speak to them, move in their hearts, and we'll trust you to do that in Christ's name. Amen.